Okay, let's begin. So first off, I want to dedicate tonight's shir in the memory of my grandfather, Reb David Ben Yehuda Arya Cohen, whose yahrzeit was Monday this week. So his neshama should have an aliyah as we talk about inyanim related to Rosh Hashanah this week. I also want to say in the beginning that this is actually going to be our last shir of the series. Originally had big, grandiose plans of doing a few more, but scheduling-wise, this is the last week that it works out, so I'll just insert some groans. You're disappointed. I'm disappointed. But hopefully we can find some great meaning, and we'll make it three shears worth of information and excitement, and we'll go
for
it.
Are you going to have other ones?
For now, this is what I can do, and I'll be in touch if anything works out in the future, but for the foreseeable future, the last Tuesday of the year, I guess we can say. Next year, who knows? Who knows what will happen for next year? Okay, so as I mentioned, this is going to be the final installment of the Tshuva series this year. And to bring it all together, we started off a few weeks ago talking about why we do Tshuva at this time of year, the idea of Yiras Shamayim, a new definition of Yiras Shamayim, of being aware of Hashem, who is somehow closer, more present at this time of year. We're supposed to have Yiras Shamayim to see Hashem and have a push to do better as the king comes home. Then 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the aspect of tshuva, looking back at the past, using our past to become better people, to become closer to Hashem, and in that way, turn our past aviros into zechuyos. And last week, we spoke about the future, the idea of making a Kabbalah, the idea of having an honest, genuine commitment to be better in the future, and the great powers that come from having a significant, but small, specific, and accountable Kabbalahs that can actually lead to lasting change. And now, we come to Rosh Hashanah. Finally, after talking about tshuva for a long time, we come to Rosh Hashanah. From Rosh Hashanah, we're finally going to start doing tshuva. Or are we? You might be surprised to hear that there's actually little or no tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. The tshuva on Rosh Hashanah is near non-existent, perhaps non-existent. Now, I know you're thinking, what about the shofar? What about all these ideas about tshuva? Don't we say, in source number two, don't we say Utshuva, utfila, utzdaka? We say that on Rosh Hashanah, so there has to be something about Rosh Hashanah being a day of tshuva. It's even one of the first and the second of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of tshuva, two of which are Rosh Hashanah. How can I say that it's not a day of tshuva? Well, if you think about it, there's actually no tshuva that takes place. What is tshuva? Confessing, listing specific sins, or just even generally saying we've done something wrong. We do zero alchitz on Rosh Hashanah. None. No slichos. We have more slichos before and after. There's nothing in Rosh Hashanah. There's not even one type of slicha that we do in Rosh Hashanah. How many times do we say the 13 midos of racham in Rosh Hashanah? Trick question. Really zero? We say it one time when taking out the Torah, or three times, but one part of davening when taking out the Torah, and even that isn't specific to Rosh Hashanah. We say that when taking out the Torah on any holiday. Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, we always say at that point. There's nothing specific for Rosh Hashanah where we mention the 13 midos of Rachamim. So you have to wonder, where is the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah? It's two of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Why is there no obvious sense of tshuva? Now, you might think that maybe someone made a mistake. Quick, someone better call Art Scroll and let them know they're missing pages from their machzor. But not only is it not an oversight, it's actually exceptionally deliberate. If you look in source number three, the Beis Yosef, from Yosef Karo, when he talks about the tefillos for Rosh Hashanah, he actually starts taking out some tefillos that he thinks talk about tshuva too much. In Avinu Malkeinu, which is also not specific to Rosh Hashanah, there also we say HaChazireinu b'Tshuva Hashem Lefanecha, but that's not specific to Rosh Hashanah. We say Avinu Malkeinu on fast days and all Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the first of the Avinu Malkeinu lines is Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. That sounds like tshuva. We have sinned. Says the Beis Yosef in source number three, take it out. We shouldn't say that. It's Rosh Hashanah, he writes, where it's bolded. She'ein omrim vidui b'Rosh Hashanah. Everyone knows we don't do any type of tshuva. We don't do vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Wow, he's actually taking things out that are too tshuva related to Rosh Hashanah. It's not the proper theme of the day. In source number four, the Knesset HaGedolah, one of the commentaries on the Beis Yosef, written in the 1600s, he writes that people misunderstood the Beis Yosef, that from Rav Yosef Karo's writings, they assumed that maybe we should take out everything. They went through the davening with a giant pair of scissors, and they started cutting out things that have the word tshuva, or slicha, or kapara, or mechila. And the Knesset HaGedolah, in source number four, writes that that's a mistake. Rav Yosef Karo didn't mean we should never mention the idea of sin or mention the idea of teshuvah on Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't do teshuvah on Rosh Hashanah. And chatanu lefanecha is an act of teshuvah. Just mentioning the idea of teshuvah is okay. Now, because of that distinction, we actually do say avinu malkeinu chatanu lefanecha. That's what the Ramah says in source number 5. And as explained by the other commentaries in Magen Avraham, 1600s, in source number 6, he writes that we don't really say chatanu lefanecha on Rosh Hashanah as an act of tshuva. We're not actually listing anything. We're not even confessing generally. We're just saying, avinu malkeinu chatanu lefanecha. We have a history of doing bad things. But the next one is avinu malkeinu ein lanu melech ela ata. We're going to be better. There's no actual confession over there. So there really is no tshuva at all. And anything that seems to be too tshuvish may have been taken out. We want to stay clear of any mention of chet. Interestingly, the Ramah in source number 7 has a very famous comment where he writes that there are people who don't eat egozim, do not eat nuts, on Rosh Hashanah. Source number 7, because the gematria of the word egoz, nut, is the same as the gematria for chet, which means sin. It's a perfect numerical match, only it's not. If you do the math, egoz comes out to be 17, and chet with the aleph comes out to be 18. So you could say, oh, it could be one off for a gematria. Some people spell the word chet without the aleph at the end, but that's not how he spells it. It's funny that not only can we not mention chet, we can't even mention words that have a numerical value close to the numerical value of chet. We're so much not talking about chet on Rosh Hashanah. Begs the question I started out with, the title of the shiur, where is the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah? In what way is Rosh Hashanah 2 of the 10 aseres imei teshuva, if in reality we have no specific or general mention of tshuva or doing tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? So in order to answer this question, to get a better understanding of what Rosh Hashanah is and how it plays a role in the tshuva season, we have to go back to understand what is the main theme of Rosh Hashanah. If it's not tshuva, then what is it? If you want to understand the theme for any holiday, we have to see, why is it on this day? What is it commemorating? You see, Yom Kippur is actually a day of tshuva. And it makes a lot of sense, because Yom Kippur, what does that commemorate? What happened in Jewish history on the 10th day of Tishrei? Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second set of Luchos, which was the ultimate sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven us for making the Egel, which broke the first Luchos, the worst Aveira in Jewish history. And on Yom Kippur, we were finally proven God had forgiven us. So that has always become a day of tshuva, because it fits the theme of what happened on this day long ago. Every holiday is like that. Chanukah and Purim are commemorating specific events. Pesach, Shavuos, even Sukkot is a nice discussion, why Sukkot is then. But all the holidays are commemorating something. What happened on Rosh Hashanah? Why is this beginning of the year? And what is the theme of the day? What took place in Aleph Tishrei a long, long time ago? That will give us an understanding of what the theme of the day is and how it somehow relates to tshuva, despite not doing any tshuva on Rosh Hashanah itself. So what do Chazal say? What is Rosh Hashanah all about? If you look in source number 8, the Mishnah, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, unsurprisingly the place to look for the laws and the themes of Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah says that the people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's a day when every single person passes in front of Hashem a single file, and eventually Hashem judges people also as a group. But individuals are judged, and all of the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Why? What took place in Rosh Hashanah? One of the Rishonim, the Ran, in the 1300s, in source number 9, he asked that question. Why? What happened in Aleph Tishrei that makes it the day we're being judged as opposed to any other day of the year? And he writes something amazing. He says that mankind was actually created on Aleph Tishrei. It is the national or the humankind birthday on Aleph Tishrei. That's why it's a time of judgment. Just like the anniversary of anything is a time to reassess. When someone is hired, on the year of their hiring, the boss might call them in and to do a review and see how you did over the last year. An anniversary, a birthday, these are times to take stock and reassess. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the anniversary of creating us, every Aleph Tishrei reassesses us. How are you doing? What's the plan for the coming year? How's the last year been? Anything to say for yourself? Right, Rosh Hashanah is a time, it's the anniversary of our being created. And in that sense, we say in Rosh Hashanah, if you look at the end of source number 9, where it's underlined over here, we say in Davening, Zehayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. This is the day when Hashem first created the world, on Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's confusing about that is that that's not when God began creating the world. We know from kindergarten that man's creation was on the sixth day. 5 days beforehand, there were plenty of things going on. Man was the last of the beings to be created. So what does it mean that this is the beginning of Hashem's creation? In source number 10, also from our davening, we say multiple times from Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam. This is the birthday of the world. The whole world was born today on Aleph Tishrei. And that's why Hayom Ya'amid Ba'Mishpat, that's why we're being judged today, because it's the anniversary, it's the birthday of the entire world. How is it the birthday of the entire world? Only man was created. And what you see is that the whole world was created for man. And it wasn't called finished. It wasn't called that anything was created until man came into the world. And you know why that is? Because Hashem's purpose in creating us was to recognize Him. And until man came along and was able to recognize Hashem, in that sense, Hashem didn't have anything that was created for the ultimate purpose. This is expressed beautifully in source number 11, the Bar Tanura, in the 1400s, the classic commentary on Mishnayos. He talks about the Shir Shal Yom for every single day. We say it every single day, as the Levim said it in the Beis HaMikdash. Why was each paragraph chosen for each specific day? So the Mishnah, Maseches Tamid, which discusses the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, goes through. On Sunday, why do we say this? On Monday, why do we say this? And for Friday, we say, Hashem Malach, Hashem ruled over the world. Bar Tanur explains why. Why is Friday a day to say Hashem ruled over the world? What was created on Friday? Or more specifically, who was created on Friday? Man. And writes the Bar Tanura, Ubo Nivra Adam Shemakir Malchuso Shel Yotzro. Hashem only ruled because there were people to recognize His rulership. Think of a king. I can get up tomorrow and claim I'm the emperor, the king of Abu Dhabi. I can claim it whatever I want. I could say it. If no one recognizes me as such, then it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't last. A king is only a king if there are constituents to recognize his rulership, his sovereignty. Chazal have an expression, Ein Melech Below Am. There can't be a king without followers who agree to accept his rulership. We've said it so many times, you probably haven't even noticed what it means, but we say in Adon Olam, source number 12, every single morning. Adon Olam Asher Malach, the master of the world who was ruling, B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra, before anything came into existence. Le'es Na'asa B'chevtzel Kol, once He actually created us, Azai Melech Shemo Nekra. Then, only then, is He called the king. Hashem may have started creating the world on Chaf Hei Elul, 5 days before Rosh Hashanah. But He only became the Melech, He only became the king on Aleph Tishrei, when man was created, when the culmination of all of creation, when man was able to recognize Hashem and say, we recognize you as the king. You're the king now because we exist to notice you. And in that sense, Rosh Hashanah, like every other holiday, is commemorating something. It's an anniversary of Hashem becoming the king. And just like every other holiday, we try to recreate that theme every year on the holiday. If Pesach is about freedom, we act free on Pesach. If Shavuos is about Kabbalah Satorah, we re-accept the Torah on Shavuos. If Yom Kippur is about forgiveness, we do tshuva, real al-chein on Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is all about the time when we first acknowledged Hashem as the King, and that is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, not tshuva by itself. The main goal for Rosh Hashanah is where we are mamlech Hashem, we king Hashem, we coronate Hashem by acknowledging His authority over us, and our submission, our responsibility to follow His commands. Look throughout davening. Melech, Malchus, is the main theme, the very first word of Shacharis. HaMelech, that's how davening begins. HaMelech HaKadosh. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech Yilam Va'ed. Melech Elyon. The main bracha we say, the middle part of Shemona Esrei. Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron. What is actually the day about? Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. The whole day is about Malchus. And Hashem is only the Melech as long as we acknowledge it. And that's the anniversary that we're celebrating, acknowledging Hashem's mitzvahs, acknowledging the responsibility to follow into Hashem. Now, in theory, we should have this acknowledgement all year round. But for nearly all of us, it's so hard to have this feeling year round. And it may only be Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, year to year, where we actually get reminded of the sense of HaMelech, the King. I read a story about the great Hasidic master, Reb Bunim from Shischa, about 250 years ago or so. And one year, the story goes, he was sitting in shul, and the chazan began, HaMelech! And Reb Bunim fell off his chair and passed out. So that interrupted everything. Everyone ran over to revive him and fainted again. He didn't understand. Well, he's been davening all these years. What happened? So after davening, they wanted to know, what happened to the Rebbe? How come he fainted when they said HaMelech? He said, I was thinking about the Gemara Maseches Gittin, source number 13. The story about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the chief Jewish rabbi, snuck out of the Jewish city to negotiate with Vespasian, who was at the time the Roman general. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai approaches, he says to him, Shama Alach Malka, Shama Alach Malka. In source number 13, he says, "Greetings, O king." He's talking to this, not to the Caesar, he's talking to one of the generals, and he calls him the king. And the Caesar says, "What? I'm not the king. But even if I was the king, if you thought I was the king, what took you so long to come over here?" And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai explains that he's about to become the king, and sure enough, very soon, Vespasian becomes the king. And that line, where it's bolded in source number 13, "Imalka ana," if I'm really the king, "ad ha'idna, amailo asis lagaboy, why have you not come until now?" And that thought, Rabbunim said, scared me. When we said ha'melech, we declared Hashem as the king, I imagined him saying to me, "Oh, so I'm the king? If I'm really the king, where were you until now? Where were you since last year?" This idea of malchias, this idea of acknowledging Hashem as king, comes with a responsibility of asking ourselves the question, where have we been until now? Why haven't we noticed this until now? What have we been doing? What haven't we been doing? What should we be doing going forward? And with this, we can start to understand, while even though there is no tshuva, Rosh Hashanah itself, it is the perfect way to start off the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I've heard from Rabbi Meir Twersky, he said that the real root of every Avera is not recognizing Hashem as the king, somehow not acknowledging his authority, either with actual philosophical questions, or just not thinking about it too much, not really feeling his presence. And we all struggle with this. Rosh Hashanah is that time to acknowledge his malchias, which then encourages us to ask ourselves, where have I been until now? If he really is the king, why haven't I come sooner? Why haven't I acknowledged his presence sooner? And in that sense, Rosh Hashanah is actually the beginning of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because it's necessary to even start the process. We can't begin to do tshuva until we acknowledge the reason why we should do tshuva, or have that motivation, that impetus to start doing tshuva, to ask ourselves, if he really is the king, where have I been? Why haven't I been coming until now? Before we can even get involved in the nitty-gritties of actually making Kabbalos, looking back at the past, saying the Al-Chaitz, listing 50, before we can even get involved in that, we have to first, step one, step two, we have to actually, the ABCs. What's the reason I shouldn't be doing Averos? What should I think about to help me stop doing Averos in the future? And with this idea, we can understand another famous question that people ask. People ask the question of, why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? You might say because then the calendar would make sense otherwise, but only because we have it that way. Why was the calendar established for Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? Think about it. Rosh Hashanah is a new year looking ahead. Yom Kippur is looking back at the previous year. Wouldn't it make more sense to do tshuva on the last day of the year and then start the new year? Another way to ask that same question is, wait, so we got a judgment in Rosh Hashanah, we're judged for the coming year, then we have like 10 days to change it and then undo all of our mistakes and then get judged all over again. Well, that's inefficient. Why don't we just first do tshuva, clear off whatever we can clear off, and then get a judgment? The answer is, you can't have tshuva without first having Rosh Hashanah. There is no proper tshuva if you don't first acknowledge the mitzvah, the one who commanded us, the melech. There can't be tshuva unless we ask ourselves, who are we talking to? Why is there an obligation to do tshuva? Rav Soloveitchik, Meir Twersky's grandfather, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, explained that Rosh Hashanah isn't a day of doing tshuva. He called it a day of hear her tshuva, a day of thinking about tshuva, a day of being inspired to start the process of doing tshuva. I actually saw just 10 days ago, someone uploaded that shir of hear her tshuva to YouTube. You actually can check it out, Salvation with great subtitles. Just 10 days ago, it was put up from 1975, way before we had YouTube. Salvation gave us here about Hir Tshuva. What is the Tshuva Rosh Hashanah? There isn't. It's just the starting. It's the inspiration to start the process of doing Tshuva. And with this, I want to give you our first takeaway of the evening. The first takeaway is to recognize this motif as Tshuva being secondary, Tshuva being what comes out of it. But the main goal, the main immediate thing we strive for in Rosh Hashanah is, just like when we were first created, to acknowledge Hashem as Melech. As I mentioned in the Tefillah Shirim, it's very hard to maintain kavana throughout the entire davening. What's a little bit easier, is to pick out one word. In this case, look out for the word melech. If you haven't already before, look out for the word melech in davening. Whenever it comes up, give it a little jolt. Hey, there it is again. Wow. It's a lot of melechs. Wow. 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 Again and again and again. And it's not just for Rosh Hashanah. This just starts the process. In source number 14, the Mar Maseches Brachos says, during the next 10 days, after Rosh Hashanah, we say, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat. We changed the davening a little bit because we want to get in the mindset of Melech, Melech. It starts Rosh Hashanah and it carries through to Yom Kippur. And that's the idea. We're starting Rosh Hashanah. Takeaway number one, very practical advice for how to start getting in the mindset for Rosh Hashanah, to have that hisorus, that hirhur, that starting thoughts of teshuva, is to look out for the word Melech, the real theme of the day of Rosh Hashanah. Acknowledging Hashem as our king and our obligation to him, why haven't we noticed him until now? Second, I'm sure when I mentioned in the beginning, where is the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah, you're probably thinking about the shofar, which is a great thing to think about for Rosh Hashanah. Yes, there's something about Rosh Hashanah and the shofar and tshuva. In fact, in source number 16, the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah talks about this idea of Malchias, where it's underlined, Malchias kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. The goal is to make Hashem king over us. And where it's bolded, uvama b'shofar. We use the shofar in order to do what we just talked about. The way to acknowledge Hashem as our king, which inspires us to do tshuva, is to have the shofar. The Rambam, in source number 17, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes very famously that the shofar is some kind of alarm clock to wake us up, to have us get that inspiration. Reminds me of the joke about two friends who were hanging out in one of their apartments late at night. I mean, like, really late at night. And one of the friends noticed that the guy who lived there has a shofar next to his bed. And he asked him, why do you keep a shofar next to your bed? And the friend says, well, this is my clock. He says, excuse me? This is my clock. This is how I know what time it is. How does your shofar tell you what time it is? He says, I'll show you. He takes the shofar and blows a real long tekiah gedola. From next door, there's banging on the wall. Are you crazy? It's 3:30 in the morning. Oh, it's 3:30 in the morning. That's our clock. Shofar is our clock. How is a shofar an alarm clock? What exactly is a shofar waking us up to do? Well, if you think about the shofar as a coronation trumpet, as a sound of being Mamlech Hashem, think of the shofar as a way of us standing at attention. We're all at the coronation, we're all there, and no one's protesting. No one's saying, I don't accept this ruler as my leader. I don't accept him. We all sit there, we're silent, and we're thinking. People ask the question, what should I think about during shofar? There's a lot of, I'm thinking about, is he going to make it? Is he going to cough? Is he have to take a breath? Do it all over? What should we be thinking about during shofar? Well, think about this. Think about shofar as a way of being Mamlech Hashem. Think of shofar as that cry, that coronation, that acknowledgement. And maybe in that way, shofar is a hirhur tshuva. It's that same thing we just talked about before, the same as before. If the word melech gets us to think Hashem is the king, that's an inspiration to start doing tshuva after Rosh Hashanah, and the shofar does the exact same thing. Shofar is along the same motif, the same theme. Chazal, I gave it to you over here from two midrashim. I saw this in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's commentary on the Rambam over here. He quotes these two midrashim, where he writes that the idea of shofar, the Medrash writes, is an idea of shipru ma'aseichem. The word shofar comes to beautify, to perfect. Perfect your ways. Become better. How? How does a shofar, how does hearing that loud noise make me want to do better? Well, what it does is it reminds us Hashem is the king. If we associate the shofar and Malchios, we're getting the correct theme of the day. We're getting that in that mindset of, it's Yom HaDin, this is a very serious day. This is the day when I have to ask myself, where have I been this whole time? What am I going to do going forward? So far, we have two takeaways. Number one, very practical takeaways to how to get in this mindset to properly maximize Rosh Hashanah, which we're saying is not a day of doing tshuva itself, but starting that hirhur tshuva. If Rosh Hashanah is the alarm clock, then Elul, the past month, was setting the alarm clock, learning more about what the shofar is about, learning more about tshuva, getting ourselves prepared to set the alarm to be able to hear it in Rosh Hashanah. So we have two ideas so far, two practical takeaways. One, look out for the word melech in davening as often as it comes up, not just Rosh Hashanah, but throughout Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and Yom Kippur. And number two, during the shofar, a lot of shofars we're going to hear, hopefully, whether we're davening in shul, davening at home, hopefully, we can at least at some point on Sunday be able to hear the shofar and think about the idea of being Mamlech Hashem. And lastly, for the third takeaway, I want to get to what is probably the most famous and probably the most sacred of all mitzvos on Rosh Hashanah. That's right. You know what I'm talking about. The real meat and potatoes of the holiday. Or should I say, the apple and honey of the holiday. The real most important mitzvah, the most traditional, the most widespread custom of Rosh Hashanah, and that's the apple and the honey. What Chazal known as calls Simana Milsa. It may sound heebie-jeebie and confusing even. Wait a second. I want to have a good year. So, no introspection required, no reason to daven and ask forgiveness and do better and make a plan for the future. All I have to do is eat some fish head, have some gourd, and just say a bunch of lines? That's the way to have a good year? Well, that's easy. I'm wasting our time with these tshuva shiurim. We could just have more apples and honey. what is the theme? What exactly is the goal of having these simanim, having these signs, premonitions, these potents for the coming year? It wasn't made up, 50 years ago. This idea goes back to the Gemara. I gave it to you in source number 20, Maseches Horios. The Gemara talks about this idea, that Simana Milsa. We can symbolize something and make it more real to ourselves, make it more real. And for that reason, we should have, Mark gives a couple of examples. And we know them. We know a lot of the examples we have. The pomegranates and the carrots and the gourd and the black-eyed peas and whatever else we have in our mouths. And it's wonderful. But what exactly is the goal? What exactly are we accomplishing with these Simanim? So I gave it to you over here from Rav Soloveitchik, which is printed in the Rosh Hashanah Machzor of the Rav. He explained very beautifully, like we were saying until now, this fits in very, very much with our entire theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is all about Malchus, acknowledging a Yom HaDin, where it's underlined in source number 21. He writes, just like on Pesach night, there's a mitzvah to demonstrate and act out the freedom of leaving Mitzrayim, so too in Rosh Hashanah, we have to act out that we're being judged. We symbolically remind ourselves that we're being judged. Don't think of Rosh Hashanah Simanim as heebie-jeebie, or, okay, this is all I have to do to have a good year. I'm thinking about it in the following way. Think about a person who's in love, a person who can't get someone else out of his head. Everything that they see will be a trigger, a reminder of that person. Everywhere they look, it may be far-fetched. Oh, this is her favorite song. Oh, he likes this cereal. Oh, she has shoes that look, well, nothing like this, but she also wears shoes. Oh, right? Everything is a reminder. It reminds me, one of my friends, he gave me permission to tell this story. I'm very grateful that he let me tell this story. When we were in yeshiva together, one year we were learning Perek Kira. Perek Kira is the third perek of Maseches Shabbos, which deals with the laws of cooking on Shabbos. A Kira is a stove. So the laws of cooking on Shabbos are Maseches Shabbos and Perek Kira. Well, wouldn't you know it, during that year, my friend was engaged to a girl named Kira, like short for Yakira. And he found it so hard to focus because on the top of every page of the Gemara, it has the chapter name. He couldn't look away without seeing Kira, 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 Kira. And if you think it's hard enough to be able to focus on learning in general, try getting someone that you love out of your head. He'd be in shir and the Rebbe would say, there's an important question whether the Kira is permissible. And he'd find himself thinking, what? No, she is. She's perfect. Stop. She's the best. When something's on your mind, when you're obsessed with something, anything you see will remind you of it. You really can't get it out of your head. If we really felt the impending din on Rosh Hashanah, we can't get it out of our heads. We see an apple and honey. Apple, honey, sweet. You read so much to be a sweet new year. We see a carrot, gezer, gzar, gzardin. Oh, Hashem should give us a good gzardin for the year. We see a pomegranate, lots of seeds, lots of mitzvahs. Whatever we see, it's not heebie-jeebie, and there aren't specific things we have to use. We all have our traditions, and we should all follow our traditions, but people make up your own. Do it in English. I've heard one of my favorite ones someone made up was in Rosh Hashanah, they take a raisin, and they cut it in half, and they put it with a piece of celery, and they say, we should all be zocha to half a raisin celery. We should all half a raisin salary. That one's not found in the Gemara, but the point is, it's getting us thinking about din. The idea of simanim is not some heebie-jeebie ritualistic thing like dalad minim, like lulav and esrog. The idea is just getting us thinking. Now, normally, if we really felt it, if we really felt Hashem was the king, if we really, all year round, noticed Hashem was the king, we wouldn't need the help. We would naturally, on our own, if someone had to actually go to human court to decide if they're going to go to jail for the rest of their lives, they wouldn't have to work hard to have that in their mind. They would naturally, whatever they see the night before, would remind them of it. I'm going to trial tomorrow. I can't get that out of my head. Well, we don't naturally feel that way. But by giving us simanim, Chazal primed us. They helped us get in that mindset. Rosh Hashanah starts, Chazal say, start thinking about din. Let everything you see remind you of din. And if you don't really feel that way, we'll tell you what to say. But the goal isn't the actual simanim. The goal isn't the actual, that's so silly, it's so cute, it's a good pun. The real goal of Soloveitchik writes is to get in the mindset of din, which is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, this idea. So, what are our takeaways for tonight? As we started off with, we noted that Rosh Hashanah is not a day where we do tshuva. In fact, we barely even mention teshuva. Maybe there's some general things that mention tshuva, but specifically, we don't focus on the nitty-gritty, the details of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. Instead, the main motif, the main theme of Rosh Hashanah is recognizing Hashem as our King. On the day when we were created and gave creation a purpose, and we Ein Melech Belo Am, by acknowledging Hashem as our leader, made him the king. Azai Melech Shemo Nekra. He became the king only when we were created. So therefore, every year, that's the motif. It goes every single year, Aleph Tishrei, Beis Tishrei. What we do is, we acknowledge Hashem as the king. And it's screaming out throughout our prayers. Hamelech. Takeaway number one. Look out for the Hamelech. Let it jolt you. Let it feel a sense of, wow, this is the theme of the day. And let that be a feeling of, if he really is the king, why haven't I noticed him sooner? What does it push me to look back to the past to do? To look forward to the future to do? As the days come up to Yom Kippur, to actually plan better. And in that same theme, the shofar actually is screaming out to us, waking us up to that. Having that coronation sound, thinking, yes, Hashem is the king. I'm standing here at attention, not protesting. I'm acknowledging his sovereignty. And in that way, the shofar wakes us up. It's an alarm clock telling us, all right, now that you acknowledge that, get going. After Rosh Hashanah, you better start doing tshuva. You have Yom Kippur only a week away. And perhaps when the day starts, we have simanim to get us in the right mindset. To have the simanim the night before. So by the time we come to shul the next morning, we're already preoccupied with din. It's all we can think about. We can't get out of our head. We can't stop thinking about the din. And with that mindset, we come to shul and we hear HaMelech. And we hear the shofar. And all of a sudden, we're in that moment. We feel it. We feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king. We feel that anniversary. This is the time. Which inspired to have Hear Her Tshuva, gets us on the right track to start the process, not today, not tomorrow, but after that, the next 7 days, we're going to actually do Tshuva. Ultimately coming to Yom Kippur, we should all be Zocha, with that proper mindset, with the work we've done for the last 4 weeks. And by Rosh Hashanah, starting with the Simanim at night, going to HaMelech throughout the davening and the shofar that we blow on Sunday, should get us in the right mindset to actually do Tshuva properly during Aseres Mei Tshuva, when we actually do say Slichos. And to come to Yom Kippur and properly say Achet and actually do proper stichos and look back at the past and make a good plan for the future. And with this, I wish you a wonderful Ksiva v'chasim v'tov, we should all be zocha to a wonderful year of judgment. Unfortunately, Tav Shin Pei, this past year was a very difficult, very challenging year. Very, very challenging year in so many different ways. And if it's a reminder, think about how many things were decided last Rosh Hashanah. Think about how much has gone on in the last year. And how much is going to be decided for the coming year. Everything that happened in the last year was all decided based on last year's Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Well, we have another one of those coming up. A chance to actually do something wonderful, do something, the proper theme of the day, to recognize Hashem as our Melech, which should inspire us to do Tshuva, and ultimately, Be'ezras Hashem, we always need help to do Tshuva. To have a wonderful Ksiva V'chasim B'tova.